welcome to the God is a Geek video game podcast. Sorry if I sound a bit strange this week, but my name's Adam Cook. I'm your regular every Wednesday host. Every Wednesday. The podcast is every Wednesday, and every Wednesday you hear my voice, and I'm not talking to myself, but his name's out. I've used that joke before. Adam Carroll, how are you doing, man?
Adam Cook, I am sweating.
Really? Why?
Sweating. It is way, way too hot for me.
Wow, it's actually hammering it down with rain as we record this where I am.
Really?
Yep, absolutely hammering it.
Nope, it is just, the humidity is destroying me. It is okay. Absolutely,
I mean, I'm not
going to
lie, it is a bit warm in this office, but before we get into that, I need to think that maybe we should have done this off the cast, I don't know, but like, I've used the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Okay. I've used the, that's twice now, I've just reused the, I'm not talking to myself, it's another Adam. Is there another thing? There must be a thing, like if I literally googled Adams, what would we get? Adams Restaurant, British Dining in the heart of Birmingham, Adam Carroll.
Adams, oh really?
Adams Kids, we'll move on. I tell you what a good, that website must be worth a fortune, adams.co.uk. That would cost to buy that off them.
Adams Solicitors? Adams Fine Art Auctioneers?
Is there a way, and again we should do this off cast, is there a way we can get a Brian Adams reference in? We'll workshop this for another time, but just don't forget, it's the first real six string. We're not there. How are you, mate? You alright apart from being roasting?
Roasting. I'm good, man. It's been a bit of a week. Been pretty busy. Played a game that
the game
that we'll get in a while. But other than that, man, good. How about you? How's your week been?
I'm the same, but I've just realised that normally I do these super long intros, and then I'm going to now introduce the third and fourth person.
Our podcast. We can talk as long as we want in an intro.
Yeah, but people will be thinking, God, he's really taking a while to get to the other. It's just the Adams this week. There has to be... tweet us. There's something...
Yeah. Somebody's probably shouting it right now.
Adams chain? Doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work. I'm fine, though, mate. I'm playing all the games, literally all the video games, of which...
We're officially in.
I've got two I can talk about this week, and about four I can't. But should we just get into it? Because I've had nothing else in my life this week apart from games, and I have played Astral Chain, which is a game I believe a lot of people are excited about.
Yep.
I said this in my video, okay? Do you agree with me that Platinum Games... Because I've said in the past, Platinum Games get a bit of an easy ride. It's like, oh, it's Platinum, and mate, can't wait. And I get why, but they don't seem to get the criticism sometimes that they deserve. But also, there is a kind of an A and a B team for Platinum Games, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
You would agree, then, you reckon?
Completely.
Okay, well, so
Star
far...
Star Fox Zero.
I never played that. I've got a Wii U set up. I should try. Is it really that bad?
It's not great.
What? We better not get into
this. Yeah, there's no need to. It's all.
Because Astral Chain so far is very, very good. And the one of theirs it reminds me the most of, Adam Carroll, is Nier Automata.
Adam Cook, music to my ears.
It's just got so much I was expecting a straightforward character action game, like a Bayonetta, like a DMC. You know what I mean?
Which is totally fine as well.
Well, absolutely. Like, you know, Bayonetta 3, can't wait. What I wasn't expecting is you press a button that puts your sort of Batman detective vision on, where you can analyse your enemies, or you can find items, or, you know, generally study things. I wasn't expecting that. I know you play as a policeman, or a cop, you know, whatever. But I wasn't expecting... you to actually do detective work.
I love that you're that kind of character, though. It's just like, there isn't... It's always about either being the kind of... The maniac or the kind of bad person as such. I like the way you have to be the... Like, there is good people in video games, obviously, but this is supposed to be the real good person, you know?
But, like, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting that kind of, you know, investigation stuff. I certainly wasn't expecting there to be people like in Nier you could just walk around talking to and learning about, and I certainly wasn't expecting you to get like side quests off them.
So hang on, let's not jump ahead here. Okay. How deep does the investigation stuff go?
I'm not going to talk story. I don't want to spoil
that's fine.
The story.
That's, whatever also, you can talk about.
It's so crazy so far. I don't think I could sum it up yet. I need to finish it and get a whole picture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How deep is the investigation? Well, so far, it's very Batman, and like you can see something. You can sort of see things reconstructed. You need to find, you know, scan the environment to find things. They then give you, for example, knowledge. Like by you can. Oh, this isn't gonna make any sense. But you know from the marketing and stuff that you attack with your legions, right? They are mm-hmm. the things that are astral chained to you. You can get your legion out whenever you want, really. And you can actually, if you hold the left trigger and use the right stick, instead of now moving the camera, it moves the legion. So you can actually control your legion directly. And you can actually get it to eavesdrop on criminals, right? And if you eavesdrop enough of the conversation, you know they're going to do a drug deal. It actually, one of them, it was really like... It actually said, like, hey, do I have to tell you again? Yeah, tonight, 3 a.m. Yeah, you know, the really bad drugs deal stuff. And it's like, I think it's intentionally funny because it was like, she's joking.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you then discover them, you can use one of your Astral Chain Legion's moves, which is if you control them with an enemy, you can move them to go around like a circle, like a donut, yeah? And that stun locks them in place. Like, it chains them down for a few minutes so you can get some hits in. With the NPCs who are going to do drugs deals and that, you circle them and it puts them in chains and they then come and get arrested. Someone comes and arrests them for you. So that's one element of it. Another element is like by doing the investigation stuff, like literally you eavesdrop to get, so-and-so said this and this. Okay. Then you go and find something else via, you know, using your legion. Then when you go and have a conversation with someone, there are dialogue options where you answer correctly to get better score in the case file. Like,
wow,
wow is right. Like, I was not expecting any of that.
Yeah.
There's like this red corruption stuff from the bad enemies, well, the enemies, and you can use your legion to hoover it up. And that is like, there's a percent, you know, at the end of a level, it's like, how much of a percentage did you clean? There's replayability already. I can see that, like, with other legions, you can go back in and do stuff you couldn't, almost Metroidvania, like, you know, you couldn't access it with that legion. But once you've unlocked it to replay later on, you can. Like, it just totally took me by surprise because I was expecting a, like, 8 to 12 hour Bayonetta, essentially.
How long, if you'd roughly like put a time on this game, how long do you think?
I just don't know, man. Like,
yeah,
each level, each file, chapter, whatever you want to call them, is taking way longer than I expected.
Okay.
And there's a lot of cutscenes at the start, like a lot. It's just totally unexpected how big this game feels.
Well, let's get into here because, like, when Platinum nail it. It is just amazing. Like, one of my favorite things that you said in your video, was for a developer where we know they're going to be doing Bayonetta 3. You said it would always make you not forget it, but be okay to wait when Astral Chain is here.
But man, this game opens, like I say, like Nier. Like, you're expecting the third-person action game, and instead, and I cut it up deliberately in the video so it seemed out of sequence, but on the podcast here, I'll tell you now, you start on the back of a bike in like a chase sequence, shooting people from your bike, and it's like, I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
But it immediately sets the expectation to have no expectations, because what you thought this game was... It could be anything, because it almost feels like Platinum are now, we do what we want, man. And I love that, because although people talk about, like, Hideki Kamiya, like, and they, I love his Twitter presence and all this, I'm not a big fan of that shit, to be honest with you. But in terms of the games they make, let's not forget they've made some weird stuff for Nintendo before, like The Wonderful 101.
Yeah.
You know? Let's not forget they have been told, make us a really cool game. This is so gamey in that respect. Like, it's like an anime thing. It's got, like I say, the humor. It's got the, it feels the only thing people, I think, and again, very much preview impressions, what I think people maybe are concerned about, and again, maybe this gets deeper, is the combat is not Bayonetta. You know,
that's what I want to get
rattling off combos. You have a stun baton that you can do, and you just tap the right trigger to just hit. But you can turn, you can then flick to the gun, and again tap right trigger to shoot. Now maybe that is more unlocked as you progress. I don't know yet, but a lot of it seems dependent. And again, having known that there are more legions and you can switch out, I think it's going to be more like... It's not quite... I said it in the video and I still can't remember the bloody name. Is it Virgil? No, not Virgil. No, who's the... In DMC, who's the character you don't directly fight with? The anime boy.
Oh, Jesus, I'm a complete blank with that.
Yeah, but him... I'm going to Google it because it's been bothering me for days. It really is bothering me now. I've got to look at it. Gameplay. It's not Dante and Nero. V, isn't it? It's called V. Oh, my God. It's called V, isn't he? He's actually called V. Yeah. Wow. Brilliant. I feel as silly now.
You can have that one. You can have that one.
This is the second time it's happened because this is like, I remember on a podcast that we did long ago, myself and Colin Mahern, when he actually got quite angry with me because he thought I was pushing the joke about how I didn't get the miles per hour thing.
Okay.
I didn't get it. Genuinely, I was just saying, yeah, miles per hour. Miles per hour. And he thought I was winding him up. I really didn't. I get it now. Miles per hour. Moving on. But yeah, it's kind of like you control and automatically control your legion. But you can get involved. You can. So imagine that gameplay, but you can still go in and make direct attacks. Like I show it in the video, but there is a boss fight where you kind of have to use it, where the game's like, no, remember, we did teach you this. You have to do it. You separate yourself from your legion and you put the chain between the two of you. So the boss jumps into it and bounces back and stuns, and then you can go and dish out the damage. And it's like, the level of ingenuity that they've got when they come up, I can't wait to see the next boss. You know what I mean?
This is
incredible, that
this
shit.
This is exciting because, like, I think Nier... Like, Nier came out in 2017. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And here we are getting Astral Chamber. I think Nier is just one of the greatest video games, full stop. Mm-hmm. And the build-up to Astral Chain, I've had a lot of questions, and I've been, like, kind of looking at the gameplay, and been, yeah, okay, all right, but then when your video, and I was looking, I was like, oh, holy shit, there's so much... There seems to be so much more to this. Yep. Now, how, with this being obviously a Switch exclusive, did you get a chance, because in the video it seems to run really well, did you get a chance to play it in handheld?
Or was I literally, my son wanted to play Mario Maker as I was going out, and he brought the Switch into me, and he's like, have you saved your game? And I looked at him like, what have you done? And I like snatched it up and was like, oh, okay. And I thought, oh, I've got it in my hand. So literally at this point, for 15 seconds, I just quickly, in the police station, just sort of moved the camera around. And it looked a little bit less, the performance looked a little bit not quite as good. But I can't honestly at this point say, genuinely, it's not me being like, oh, embargo and all that. I don't know.
That's fair.
15, 20 seconds. Yeah, I was quite impressed with how it ran. Obviously, it's a Nintendo game, so it's not going to be running at 1080, you know, because they hardly any of them do. It might be. I don't know. I've said that. I don't know, actually. It might be. But to my eye, it looks nice. You know, I've watched the footage back, obviously, and it seems to run very smoothly. There's a lot going on in some of it. Like, I didn't show everything I've played, obviously. But there's a lot going on. And honestly, I'm not allowed to show cutscenes, and I'm not going to talk about story, but what I will say is that some of the cutscenes are almost Metal Gear long, where you're putting the controller down and you're like, what is...
Perfect.
But you're watching it, and then it's just like, holy shit. There's few developers that when they get it right, they get spectacle that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And how is our protagonist?
Well, this is, again, early thoughts, so it's difficult to say for sure, but I'm not sure, because obviously there's twins.
Yeah.
And I think whichever one you don't pick is the one who speaks all the time.
Right.
Because for some reason, my character hasn't yet spoken, but my sister speaks lots. So that there might be a story thing for that. I don't know. But at the moment, that is a bit odd. The voice actors, actually, there's one guy I can't place. It's really bugging me. I might have to see if I can find out who plays who, because there's a voice that really feels familiar. But I'm buggered if I can work it out as of now, if you know what I mean. But yeah, like, at the moment, I'll be honest, the only thing that concerns me, I say, is the combat. Is it going to get deeper? Yeah. Will the legions being switchable, will that make it deeper? Well, you know, I don't know yet.
Not this isn't a takeaway again, and not just constantly keep going back to Nier, but Nier kind of did a similar thing. Now, I know somebody might be going, how dare you say that? I just personally felt that way. I did think when you're playing Nier first time, because we all know that you definitely should play that more than once, but playing Nier first time around, you're kind of going, yeah, gameplay's fun. It's fun, but it's not like DMC fun or in any way, or Bayonetta fun, but it's still fun. Like, Astral Chain does seem to be a lot more, I think, than Nier, but at the same time, Nier just kind of, like, it just goes into such territories that you're like, holy shit, that, like, everything just complements each other. I think they know that, and I, from what you're saying, this sounds like another hit, like, so far.
I'd be shocked if what I've played, it suddenly went down the toilet. A real shocked. I can't say. Again, this isn't me. I can't say. I really can't say I haven't got that far into it.
Of course.
I'd be very, very surprised if it suddenly went that, you know, that way. At this point, you know, the only thing I mentioned, I suppose, again, early thoughts, like, style-wise, it's just got it out the wazoo. Like, at this point, I think we might need a best style category, a face off between this and DLC.
Cool.
I think, you know, for the game of the year stuff. But, like, yeah, I'm hugely impressed. My only concerns are the depth of the combat, which is something I will know as I play more. But right now, yeah, like, Platinum Games fans or just Switch owners that like this kind of thing. That's the other thing. I mentioned it in the video, by the way, the accessibility options. Like, there is a mode that's, like, if you just want to enjoy the story, the combat will be a breeze. And they did do that in Bayonetta 2 on Wii U, where you could play it with the one hand on the gamepad with the stylus. They seem pretty good at that stuff, and it goes under the radar a bit. I'm well impressed. So far, massively impressed.
I can't wait, man. I got a pre-ordered collector's edition and all. I've gone fully in. It's a Nintendo Switch exclusive. I'm excited. What else have you been playing, man?
That I can talk about, which is, I know, a big tease, but like, more next week, probably, in the week after that, actually. There's a lot of games, man, right now. A lot of games. Hard drives are full.
Give them to me.
Yes, but I did have time to play Rad, which is but I think most people, this is going to... There may be an element of already going, what? You played what? Because I think the release window for this is not the best.
Why is it
a smaller game. It is a roguelike, and I think that makes a lot of people go, oh, God, another one. Do you know what I mean? It's a really weird thing with this game, right? Because it's out there as, it looks striking.
Yeah.
But I don't like the look of it. I like when games are colourful, right? I do. This one's, again, and this isn't like me going, oh, I don't like the game. This is just a very specific, the look of the game. It's a bit too garish for me. It's all neons, and it's radiated, rad. It's, you know, it's like the world's ended twice. You're a teenager, you get to pick which teenager, you know, which avatar. There's more unlockables. You start with a baseball bat and you go around smashing things. It's very difficult. Very difficult. There are random mutations, which are basically, as you level up, you get like a... So the first one I got was, like, if you press, I think, L1, you put spikes all out of your body. So if, you know, in other words, crowd control. And then there's one that you get, I think, on R2, I think it was. I got one that, like, made, if you held that down, you created, like, a snail trail of radiation. And that actually made, like, the first boss a breeze, like a total breeze. I don't know, man. I just...
Yeah. Is it really going to hurt us because of the time? It's coming out.
I think so, yeah. I mean, you are literally releasing this game around Astral Chain, Control. Mm. You know, FIFA's not far off. Gears isn't far off. Fire Emblem's just come out. What else have we got, man? There's so many games coming right now. You know, I think it will find an audience because it's Double Fine.
That's exactly the thing.
And again, it's got style and it's all about the 80s. I'm trying to think of the game. I think I reviewed this game last year. There was a game that was like all 80s top down.
It wasn't...
I really liked it.
Fuck it. Was it the one Transistor? No?
No. All I remember is that I got a lot of shit for putting a spoiler in our video review. but it wasn't really a spoiler because it was in trailers. And it was also genuinely an accident. I just didn't see it in the top corner. What was it? But it's got that very... you know, like the Stranger Things, the synths and all that. It's got that soundtrack. It's got the kind of like the voiceover guy talks like that, and they've made him record like multiple dialogue options for everything. So when you press the start button or whatever button it is these days, he goes paused, and then you go unpause it, and he comes back and goes paused. Actually, I've just done the same thing twice, like paused or pause menu.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's
three or four for each one, which is.
It's
all right.
It's double fine. That's a double fine thing, I feel. Very. And but, that's what I kind of want to know, like, how is that the humour? Because with the likes of, you know, Psychonauts, Grim Fandango, and, like, even Brutal Legend.
I don't think it's that funny. Okay. I don't know if it's supposed to be, man, because, again, with a roguelike, all the trappings that surround it, like the story, ultimately, a roguelike, you spend just, like, hammering it, running through it, you know, repeat runs. So you kind of... Even Spelunky, you sort of like that. If you load Spelunky up and you haven't got a cloud save or whatever, seeing that intro where he's slowly on, you know, it's kind of an irritation because like I know this, I want to get on with it, I want to play it, and it's kind of like that. I just want to get on with it. Like it's got some underground sections. It's got, you know, you can get you can level up. Like I say, it seems like a decent one of those, but I'm finding myself put off by how it looks because it's so garish. Because it's supposed to be, but I'm also not really vibing with the, like I say, the kind of, well, like, you know, there's part of it, the rad is the radiation, but part of it is like, hey man, rad, you know what I mean? It's kind of that vibe, and I'm not quite
with it.
It's also got quite long load times when it does load, which is, I don't know, it's neither here nor there, I suppose, you know, there's video games these days, but I like it. I like Rad. Chris reviewed it, and I think he's given it an 8 out of 10. I wouldn't go that high, personally. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just... Not for me. Not quite that high. Do you know what I mean?
And this is coming out in pretty much everything, I think.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see how this runs on Switch, because on PS4, it's fine. The loads are long, but there's a little bit of jankiness in certain areas. Like, it looks a bit... strange, and I would wonder how that's, because again, with a Switch with all that color but that deliberately kind of garish color,
yeah,
with a lower resolution, I don't know, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, like just looking at screenshots here, I don't think this in handheld on the Switch would be the best.
It's actually ideal to play on a handheld,
yeah of course,
you know, but yeah. But, like, yeah, that is, to be honest with you, that's kind of all I can talk about at the moment, as much as I want to talk about a few other things that we'll have to wait till next week. You said you've been playing the game. Is the game the same game?
It's the same goddamn game, and I think, like, I say that with a lot of love at the same time.
But you are an hour 427.
Like, I know I said last week I'm not going to talk about it, but, like, it's Fire Emblem, by the way, in case someone's wondering.
Oh, yeah, we probably should.
Fire Emblem Three Houses. I know I said I wouldn't talk about it until I finish it, but the thing is, I'm playing this game, I feel like, so much to...
Where are you in it?
Like, I probably don't, still not that far in your mind at all, because I just did the...
No, but I reckon you could tell me what part and chapter, and I could guess a rough hour count.
Oh, fuck. I'd say I'm like nine? Is it chapter nine
in part one. So yeah, I'm going to say...
part one. And I'm just like, how many goddamn parts is there?
Well, I'm going to say you are part nine. Over 20 hours.
Yep.
24 hours?
23.
That's not bad, man.
That's
I'm
not
sorry.
Bad.
But
that's
that,
not
that's,
bad.
That is also how formulaic the game is.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I just want to say here that, like, I know there's, like, I'm seeing people online going, playing my second playthrough and third playthrough, and I'm just like, what? How? How? Because the thing is, we're coming up, as you said, Astral Chain is coming out soon. I still, like, I'm getting that day one. I want to play Friday the 13th on Switch. We're in this time where I'm kind of like, Fire Emblem, I'm really loving you, but, you know, I kind of need to...
Can you move along a little bit?
I'm going to have to move along a bit soon.
What are you
going to
do, man? Because if you're 24 hours in now, this is the 3 weeks you've had the game? 3 weeks-ish?
Yeah. I'm released there.
So the time the podcast... Again, just a quick plug, patreon.com/godisageek, $1 a month, £1 a month, whatever, you get this podcast super early. But what are you going to do? Because we're talking... Let's say so you're 3 weeks into the game.
Yeah.
That's, and you're less than halfway.
Yep.
Which means you're unlikely to complete it in 3 weeks. I don't see you said, no, I'm not playing Control, I'm not playing Astral Chain, I'm going to just play Fire Emblem. And Fire Emblem kind of demands that you just play Fire Emblem if you want to get through it.
Yeah, so this, like, this is the thing, you see, I don't know if I will get through it in time for Astral Chain and things like that. And like, Man of Medan's coming out. Oh, games! Brilliant, but shit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, here's where I'm at with this game is I'm totally in love with it. I'm at the point now where I see what you were saying, where you're just like, wow, I am still in this area. Like,
and
I know
you will
that,
be for another 30 hours.
Yeah, and I know this fucking place and I know every corner now without even having to look at the map.
Has it got... No, boring's the wrong word. Have you got a bit fed up of the kind of gift and lost items stuff yet? Are you walking around still, or do you just go to the map and just fast travel there?
Oh, fucking, I'm fast traveling. Like, yeah. Because I still have a load of gifts and I have a lot of lost items. And here's the thing. Mm. And I know people will say, oh, I can't believe you're playing it that way. But hear me out. When you say, have you gotten to the point where you're sick of the blah, 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 whatever? Yes and no. I do enjoy it, and I do like building the character stats, because I love that. I love that everything you do is, it has the purpose of benefiting you in some way. And that's great and all. But when it comes to meeting a character, and I'm like, last item, I'm going to be honest, Dad, I tell you what I do, man. I just scroll through every item and press A until they take the item. And I go,
oh,
cool.
Yeah, of course you do.
I just go, there you go. There you go. You
there
up, you
are some. There are some where you're like, oh, I know that person.
I know that person.
But mostly.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that where I'm like,
and that
I'm
fucking
at that
noise. Well, so you, in other words, have had exact same. So you're pressing buttons and someone's going, no, no,
no,
no,
no,
no. Why would you think I'd want that? Why would you think I'd want that?
Yeah. Yep. And then you get the little happy heart and the arrows pointing upwards and you're like, success, that felt great.
But do you find you do that and you're like, shit, I don't know what item that was?
Yeah, in ways I do. So I've started
that'll
to read
worse,
the items quickly. When, yeah, yep. I know. But so that's the thing, right? But I tell you what, man, the game has hit me in a way where I just love being in it, and I just love being in it, and I understand what it has to offer, and I understand what maybe I don't really need to focus on and what I like to focus on. Do you know what I mean? I'm at that point. Yeah. So I like the fishing. I think it's just enjoyable.
I quite like the fishing, actually, yeah.
I like the fishing. So I do a bit of that. I'll always go to the greenhouse.
Greenhouse,
and
yeah.
Plant some shit and then take my other stuff, and that's great. And then I like going to... Is it the counsellor? He's just in the corner on his own, and you get like 30 seconds to answer.
Oh,
your...
the confession box thing.
That's it. Like, I go to that.
Yeah, I like that. That was one of the early bits of the game. I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, so I like that. And then I kind of get to a stage then where I'm like, okay, now I have like 5 or 6 activity points. And I'm like, what'll I do? Go for a dinner with this person or do this? But there's something nice about that, and I think that's cool. And then when I go into the
comfortable
it is, and then going into the actual battles,
oh, the battles, man. Oh,
I'll be honest, man, I've played the last two battles I've done have been sensational. Like, so goddamn exciting. Like, I thought at one point I was done. I was like, this isn't going to come out my way at all. And all of a sudden, just with that notice of, oh my God, she's there. If she can heal him, then he'll get in there if I trade this item with that person. And boom, yeah. Success. That feeling is why we play Fire Emblem, I think.
That's fantastic.
And that is just, to me, just one of the best things about this game.
Grabbing victory from the jaws of defeat, man. It always feels good.
Yeah, it does. It's just when your brain all of a sudden just clicks and you're like, oh my God, this actually can work. Incredible. Now, I did have... Do you remember... look, people are probably after getting well ahead of it now, but... And it's no spoiler, but the certain night, and you could use the telepads things to teleport yourself around the place.
Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
Whew, that was a tough one.
Is that the one where there's like... you sort of split up from the start, and there's like top right corner of the map. There's loads of teleport pads.
Yeah,
that was the first really long one for me, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like managing door keys and all this kind of stuff, and getting the right people together. Tough enough, but man, it's the battle against, and this isn't a spoiler, but it's the three houses, the pretend first ever. Amazing. So much fun, because I kind of love the battles that are more just about straight up in the field, position yourself. I like using the like debris and the trees and stuff, but when there's kind of like these telepads and stuff, like, I'm not really into that. I'm kind of like,
they don't overdo that. There was a part for me where I was like, oh, this seems like you in the review part as well. I couldn't ask anyone, nobody would have known. But I was like, part one, Mikhail will tell you how many times I text him, was like, mate, it's hour 27 and I'm still in part one. Like, if this game has three parts, I'm fucked. You know what I mean? Because if they're 30 hours apart. But there was a part, again, in that section where I'm thinking, oh, wow, what are they going to do with this? They kind of don't really use that stuff. It kind of ends up going back to just battles. There are battles with, like, you know, like there's stairs where enemies can come up, or there are telepads, but they don't overuse it, actually.
Yeah, and that's, I'm happy to hear that. I have to say that the, and I know you definitely we're vocal about this, but the relationships, I feel, are, I'm going to be honest and say there are a lot of bollocks in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the level you have to go if you really want to do it is a bit mental, considering there's so many people you want to keep satisfied. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like, I don't care who I end up with. I just want to make everyone fucking happy.
It took, I would say, 40 hours before I was like, I think I've made my choice. But it, as I said on the pod, I don't really think it's that. I think I wanted more of that because I'm a fan of the series.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think it's that kind of game. I don't think it's... I mean, there are relationships matter for the battles, but I mean, in terms of the RPG relationships, it's not quite... It's not that... It's not really that kind of game.
Yeah, and there's two more things I want to ask you now, because, like, obviously, I'm still learning, man. I'm still learning much about the goddamn thing. But how did you get on with the likes of recruiting and mission assistance? Because I don't take anyone with me.
So I played around with mission assistance, and the thing is, I don't think this is a difficult game. Mostly.
And I've heard that. People are saying that.
If you're a veteran of the series, I would recommend starting it on hard casual. So hard difficulty, but no permadeath.
And before you continue, I actually think there's rumours that they're bringing a nightmare mode.
Yeah, I could see it. I don't think it's a difficult game. So I did try the assistance just to see what it was, to see if it mattered, you know, for the review, really. And I didn't bother again because I never really felt like I needed it. In terms of recruitment, there's a couple of characters you can recruit that make the game easier. One of them is Catherine.
Okay.
I would recommend. I assume she's available to all houses because she's a main character in the game, sort of thing. But she was easy to recruit. But it's basically, if you find someone you really want to recruit, then you just have to spec yourself in that direction to get your stats.
That's the top. But then I see it and I kind of go, oh, that's just another thing to focus on when I have so many so other much, things to focus on. Like, if it's not going to stop me from progressing, I'm not really going to probably.
No, you don't have to recruit, but focused, it'll make it easier. You know? Like, Catherine was one of them. I kind of ended up with most of the professors in my squad, which is weird when they're kind of supposedly rival professors, aren't they? You know, like I had most of them, but I kind of just used my core house people for most of it. Apart from few that I leveled up, you know.
And that's the last thing I really want to say right now at this point. But my house. So, I'm obviously the Black Eagles. And I know that's the house that, like, everyone's like, oh, if you pick that, then you're just, like, the most boring person ever. It's like, I don't care. It's like, I am so happy I went with this crew, because it just does, and I imagine it's the same with the other two as well, it just does an amazing job of making you love and know your house. Mm. And... like, I don't know if you've seen the character Bernadetta. Yeah. She's like the emo of this house.
She hides in her room, doesn't she?
She hides in her room and you're just like, oh, come on, come out, let's have some fun, whatever. She's like my go-to now, all of a sudden. Like, it was I was Ferdinand, I think, and now it's Bernadette. She's like out there, and it's really, I like it because she's still consistently, no matter how motivated she becomes, she's always still like, if I push her to the forefront, she just always goes, oh no. And it's like, you're grand, you're just kicking ass the whole time. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Love that, and I'm really loving the house, and I seriously enjoy the certification kind of thing, do you know?
Yeah, I like that stuff.
I think that's, man, it just feels like a real upgrade, but all of a sudden they're on a horse and you're like, ah, oh, cracking. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. Still loving it. Still going to be playing it probably for the year. Just like, it's an insanely long game. Like, it's become a joke now and a parody when the guy just says, part one. And I'm just like, still?
No, there are only two parts, to be fair.
Yeah,
and it kind of makes sense when you get there why they're such long parts.
Yeah,
they are natural parts of the story that feel like a break. But you've got to, you're not halfway yet, really.
That's fine. That's okay. I know where I'm at with the game. It's one of those games as well. I'm like that. You probably can agree with this, where you can go away, and when you come back after a period of time, you're fine. You'll know what you're doing.
There's so much to do, but it also becomes so routined that you kind of start riding a bike, really.
Yeah. So, still enjoying Fire Emblem.
Fair enough. Let's do some listener correspondence then. This week is sponsored by Thomas at Llama Fluff 42. I've got three questions from him and one from someone else. So let's get into it. The first of Thomas's questions: what's the most retro food that's still available on the shelves today? Viennetta, crispy pancakes, or pizza fingers? Also, can you pinpoint the exact year that Viennetta status plunged from posh to pound shop?
That's an absolutely cracking question, to be honest, especially the last bit about the Viennetta, because...
It's got to be 90-something, isn't it?
For a Viennetta?
Yeah.
I remember that being, like, a luxury, man.
That's what,
like,
I mean. So when did it change? What's 90... I reckon 95?
I wouldn't have a clue. I just was just happy to see Viennetta in the house.
It's weird that he mentioned Viennetta, because I saw a video on my Twitter feed of how they're made, and it's weird that serendipity, the way the world works sometimes, that he's asked this question. Unless it was him that retweeted it.
How is it made?
I can't really describe it. I mean, it's just like on a big conveyor belt. They just keep adding like a layer, then there's a chocolate bit, and then another layer, and then there's a machine that kind of just makes it into the foldy flaps things, and then they did another layer on top, more chocolate, and then it just... goes
off. it's all about the chocolate in it.
But really. It is. But right at the end of that video, there's like the camera pulls out of, you know, there's all these Viennettas going off the final thing where they're obviously going to get packaged, and it zooms out and it looks down and there's this bin just fucking full of like the ones that didn't make it. And it's just this Viennetta graveyard, and it's like, how are you binning them, man?
You sound like Viennetta is like animals or something. Like it's fucking just a cow in a slaughterhouse. Something the way it's just all just taken off and left.
You haven't seen the video. You haven't seen it. It's pretty weird. It looks like it was filmed in the 90s, so I'm going to say 95, I'm going to say.
Okay.
But what's the most retro food that's still available?
Crispy pancakes is a good shout. They're weird. They're just fucking weird.
Not for a long time.
I think the most retro food, I think, around, because I remember I used to eat these before I went to school.
Strap in, folks.
It's not even disgusting, it's just like, how the hell were you having that before you went to school at 8 o'clock in the morning? But you know the little mini pizzas?
Yeah.
The three of them in the box? I'd have that for breakfast.
Yeah, they come in boxes of two now, I think.
Two?
I think so, if it's the same one. I don't mind them, they've got like little tiny pepperoni on the top.
There's something about shit food tasting good as well. I'm just going to say that right now.
Absolutely. I was going to go Chomp. Or Finger of Fudge?
Well, I think that now is a different kind of topic, almost, because...
That's like, pretty retro.
Yeah, but there's retro sweets now, always. Like, it's just, like, is there ever a food, a hot food, that you would remember? Like...
A hot food that is retro... Oh, blimey.
Like, do you know, like a... A shitty microwavable curry or something that was made by someone.
So, I think these are still available. McCain's microchips.
Oh, they're there.
Yeah?
They're like fucking wet toes.
Oh, yeah, but you can still buy a microwave... You know, what are they called? Micro...
Microchips.
Microchips, yeah. You just stick them in the microwave.
In a little box.
Yeah, a little black box, wasn't it? With
And they'd just be fucking so wet.
Yeah, but along with a bit of sauce, they weren't much different to what McDonald's chips used to be, really. Fries, sorry.
While we're on the topic of food...
Can I
ask you something? Have you ever microwaved a rasher, which is also known as bacon?
Is this like a trick question?
No, I'm just genuinely asking you. Have you ever done it? Have you ever taken a raw
piece? that's what I wanted to get. No, I would die, wouldn't I?
No, you can actually do it.
How long do you microwave it for?
You can just put in for 60 seconds and it actually... Like, I imagine it's not great for you, but you can actually do it and survive.
That sounds like a lie.
I swear. Like, I've seen people do it. It's, like,
you've
mental.
You've seen people do it?
I've been in the room with people who have done it.
How do you know it wasn't pre-cooked? That they just let it get cold?
Because I've seen them. I've seen them take it out of the packet, put it on a fucking plate...
I'm going to say right now our listeners shouldn't do this.
Well, no, I'm not saying, but I'm asking you personally.
No, I definitely haven't.
Can you microwave a rasher?
I think you're going to have to put bacon in.
The basic idea here is to sandwich uncooked bacon between a few layers to the microwave. To microwave her... The factory runs out because... How to cook bacon in the microwave on thekitchen.com.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Bacon in the microwave, it seems so wrong, and yet also a little bit right. You guys, this really works, and it's perfect for when you just want a few quick slices of bacon without the fuss of pulling out a pen.
The fuss of cooking bacon.
Hey man, taking out a pen and putting some oil in is fuss.
Okay, so you cook your bacon in the pan, so I do it in the oven.
Well, I don't eat bacon because I'm a fucking vegetarian, but...
You say that like you're so pleased with it as well, it's...
I am, because I'm not putting my fucking microwaving rashers, you dirty bastards.
Well, nor am I, just... I tend to cook them in the oven.
Do you know what I did do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I did do before, though, years ago? Did you ever eat, like, a stick of, like... Not a stick, no, but did you ever just get, like, black pudding and eat it raw?
I'd never eaten black pudding in my life.
I did it. Ever?
Never.
Like, even cooked?
Never. Never, ever eaten black pudding or white pudding. Never.
Jesus fucking Christ, why?
I don't like the sound of it, mate, to be honest with you.
All right, like, I understand the black pudding
but,
being...
But
the
listen, I'm going to be the one this week, right? So when people go on about, oh, I love duck, I don't know, pheasant or whatever, I'm not a vegetarian. I like chicken, I like beef, I like pork, lamb.
Yeah.
But I think that's enough. Like, I think that's enough animals I'm eating. I don't feel like I need to now eat duck as well. Like, I'm satisfied with the core four.
I know, the chicken. Man.
Do you know, like, I don't feel like I need... So when people are like, oh, how come you've never eaten pheasants? Like, because I've had a fucking chicken, you know, and what is a pheasant if not a small chicken? Do you know what I mean? I know it's not really, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you can do plenty of things with chicken, with pork, with... There are so many dishes you can make. I don't feel we need to also eat ducks, pheasants... Pigeon. I don't know. What else can you eat? What other meats are there?
Would you eat lamb?
Lamb I'll eat, but it's actually one of my favourite roasts.
Look at those little things.
As I said, that's the core four. But like, you know, veal, for example, I've never tried it. Don't see the need. I'm satisfied with the other four.
Are you going to microwave a rasher?
I thought you were going to say you microwave a rabbit. I've never eaten rabbit. Again, I just don't see the need.
There's no need.
I need to eat rabbit. And, you know, here's a fun one for you. For years, I thought Welsh rarebit was rabbit.
What is this?
It's not that. I've forgotten again, but it's definitely not that. My wife told me it's not that. Hang on, Welsh rarebit. I used to think that it was Welsh rabbit. It's with melted cheese.
Do you know... Like, we need to actually go back on this here, right? And I'm like, as I said, vegetarian. Like, how have you not had black or white pudding? Man, like, when I used to eat meat, black and white pudding was just specially white. White pudding. Poor.
Isn't another name for it blood pudding? Is that something else?
Well, isn't it
guts? Isn't it like the...
It's fried pig's
blood. And I'm thinking of haggis. Yeah, there you go. That's why then.
Oh, haggis is a different ball game.
Yeah,
that is the worst. No, actually, is it haggis? What's the lining of the sheep's stomach?
I think that's haggis, but I'm also aware we might be insulting people, and we should probably fact check ourselves before we talk haggis.
Well, I'm not searching it up because it'll make me sick.
Okay. But Thomas's second question then
smells.
Is, do you worry about great game preservation and the transient nature of digital stores? DuckTales is a recent case where they delisted it. He says, I think that's why I cling to physical copies. Now, you and I are going to disagree on this because you still buy physical, don't you, mostly?
Yes, I do.
And I don't, unless I have to have a disc, I don't want a disc. But it's purely a space thing. Like, I have a shelf that, if I look to my right now, that is full of Xbox 360 games. And the top shelf is this generation. Three quarters PS4, couple of Switch games, and some Xbox One promos that I've reviewed and stuff. Like, I have shelves stacked full of Xbox 360 games to do what with? Look at now and again? Like, I want to, I also like the idea of just being able to switch games without switching discs. Laziness, but I just like the convenience. The Switch is great for that, because I'm all digital on the Switch. Apart from, I think, when the Switch first came out again, because I reviewed Mario Kart and Zelda, those were carts.
Yeah.
Do we worry about it, though? Yes, we do. Because game preservation is a massive thing. And there are people out there doing a really good job with game preservation and trying to make sure things don't vanish. But, you know, I think back to when The Matrix Online disappeared, and it was first, people were talking about it a lot, and like, yeah, that's just gone. But people tend to create, like, backdoor servers that people can still play these games. But it is a problem. But these companies, I suppose, we can't stop them. You know, they're going to shut servers down.
Yeah, I know. And that's, like, there's a lot of reasons behind it for me why I still buy physical. But, like, one of the main ones is, it's just, like, I never feel like I own the game that I buy digital. I just never feel, it never feels that special feeling doesn't come into place. And it's there, I'm excited, obviously, if it's my only choice, I'm like, cool, that's fine. But if I can get a physical copy, I just prefer it, man, because I had the situation where, I think I said this not too long ago, but I had a DS, a 3DS, and it was a particular time where I had to sell stuff, and I had to sell that, and all my Zelda games were on that. Like, it was all digital. And I was fine with knowing I had this. I was like, it's all, these are on this one unit. That's okay. But when they were gone, they were all gone. And then it just sucks. It just, like, at least I would love to have just been able to sell the hardware, keep the games, then down the line, I can get the hardware again. Because it's the games that are the hardest to get.
Right.
They're the ones that are the difficult ones, such as, like, as he says, DuckTales. Like, yeah, it comes off, and then all of a sudden, people, like, you see online are like, oh, my Wii U copy of DuckTales, I'm never selling it. And you're right, because that is what it's telling you. It's coming off. If you don't have it, or if anything happens to your console, it's gone forever, unless you have to pay an extortionate price then for it. But that's just how it feels for me, and I just, it's definitely all nostalgia as well. It's how I grew up. And
So I have gone back to that a bit. Like, if anyone watches videos with me, and I'll get to turn around, but you might, I've actually changed it, but there is, like, the mini SNES and the mini PlayStation, there's an old 3DS, there's a PS3 behind, well, now it's a PS4, but, like, there is, I like looking at these things. Like, I've got my Wii U set up, I do like looking at them, and as I said the other week, I just don't know where my retro stuff is. I just don't know where it is. Don't know where it is.
And that's the thing, man. Like, it was not so long ago, we were at a friend's house, and it was a party, whatever, and do you know, I was sitting, and he's a lot of collections like that as well, and I was looking, and I was kind of, I could see he had in mint condition Super Mario Brothers 3, an actual physical copy, box, wow, everything, cool. Right, and I was looking, and I was like, whoa, look at that, and I picked it up, and I was holding my hands, I was turning around, looking at the wall. We can play Super Mario 3 probably anywhere now, it's just everywhere, it's just one of those games, you know. But there's the magic of holding these things. And it's also, like, not to get all, like, soppy, but it's kind of one of those things down the line, if you ever, like, if I ever have kids, I'm going to be like, you have all this to play if you want. This is all
and
for you.
And they'll say, no thanks, I'll play Fortnite.
They go, Fortnite, please. Or whatever it would be around that time. But I get it. I'll keep buying physical.
But you can still do that, I will just say. Like, I introduced my son to Mario 64 on the Wii U. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's, well, yeah, I'm with you. It's not quite, like, the same.
Like, Friday the 13th is a prime example, because it's only coming out, but, like, that's been put to Switch, physical copy as well, which for some reason isn't coming out in Europe until next month. But there's been a bit of an issue of it being put in the eShop currently in Ireland. I still don't know as of recording right now.
I suppose it's coming out at all, because they had problems, didn't they? And
yeah, there's something really weird. I don't know what it is. But anyway, like, they've released the Ultimate Slasher Edition. It's the one that came on PS4 or whatever. But inside it, like, Friday the 13th, favourite horror franchise ever. Uh-huh. Like, in it, there's an exclusive Friday the 13th poster. It's only in the Switch. And that, to me, is, that's all I need. Like, I'm like, I need the physical. And I want that. So, that's how these things play out. I'm all for it, but I also get people's situation with space. Mm-hmm.
Fair play. Thomas's last question is, why does EA talk up no loot boxes for Need for Speed Heat as though it's a cool new feature? It isn't. They should have been there in the first place. Presumably they are preparing for anti-gambling legislation or something.
I just personally think they have to keep stressing it because it's EA.
They've become a company where people expect microtransactions, expect multiplayer features and no story. So they are... Was it Anthem where they came out and kept saying, no, there is a story? What game was it? But they've become that company, you know, with the FIFA stuff. They've just become that company where it's expected. So they have...
Anthem, they have Star Wars, all this stuff.
And Star Wars, wasn't it? With no microtransactions.
Battlefront 2. That was such a mess.
No, like... the new Star Wars game. They remember they said no microtransactions.
Oh, yes. That is
why.
They have to. They have to because it is really pissed off people and... I hate them. I've always hated loot boxes. If someone says they like them, and cool, but I don't at all get it. Like ever since they came out into the world of video games. But EA, yeah, like for Need for Speed, it's they had to say it because that is a prime game for them to do it in.
Like, I suppose, yeah,
they could be selling all sorts of different fucking skins and whatever you want to call the fucking body
liveries,
of a car and so that, like everything. And for them to say, nope, it's not, it's kind of like, I do kind of go, cool, that's cool. That, like, it's about time. I'm not giving you credit, EA, because you shouldn't have it in the first place. But anyway, you're learning.
There is an interesting element that I have never seen discussed regarding Ultimate Team in FIFA. And the reason I'm not going to go into it is that I'm convinced one day I can sell an article on this. Because there's just an element that people... I'll talk to you off-cast. Maybe we'll do something on Patreon with this. But there is something to do with Ultimate Team. I feel like whenever people publish stories about the loot boxes, they always miss a really important part. And it is the reason... EA don't change it. So there's a teaser for you. Maybe if people ask enough, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, no one likes this shit. You know, like when Randy Pitchford came out and said there will be no microtransactions, and there's like, there literally are. Like,
We fucking pay enough for video games. Yeah. The only thing I'm going to pay for is like downloadable content if it's story based and stuff.
It's a weird thing, man, because the whole additional paid content came about because secondhand game stores were buying and trading secondhand games and people weren't keeping their games. Well, secondhand game stores are now going out of business, and yet people are still trying to find a way to keep you playing their game, and it's a strange business these days. We've got a rainy day question to end on. It's from Gary, who is not free this weekend. It's not the weekend, actually. It's the week for you if you're listening Wednesday. That's how early you get it. Patreon.com. A little ad for you there. Patreon.com/GodAsAGeek. He says, and we'll keep this brief. Adam, if you had to play one terrible game, in your opinion, to completion, you have to 100% it, what would it be?
Oh, I may anger people here, but the first thing that pops into my head, there's definitely worse. I will stress that. Definitely worse. But I'd have to say The Last Guardian. I just don't like that game. And it just does not work for me. So if I had to try and 100% that, I know I'd be frustrated.
Terrible game. I need a terrible game. See,
it's not terrible. See, that's the thing.
I would say something like... For me, it would be terrible if I had to 100% a Metal Gear game. For me, it would be terrible if I had to 100% the first Assassin's Creed with those feathers.
Oh, God, yeah. Those fucking feathers.
But they aren't terrible games.
I forgot about that.
Are they?
They aren't terrible. See, that's it. That, like, that's the thing where I'm kind of like, all right, 100% a terrible game. What, fucking E.T. on Atari? Like, things like that are, like... I think if you just had to let's just go with a game that you personally just cannot get on with, and it can be critically acclaimed all at once. It can be loved. It can be hated. If it's just for you, if someone said play this game 100% it, and you were like, oh no, like I definitely would struggle with the first Dark Souls. I'll tell you that much. Or Demon Souls. Fuck that.
Aliens Colonial Marines. I really hated that game, and to 100% it. And I bet there are achievements for, you know, finding stuff. That would drive me mental.
Do you know what game wouldn't be fun at all to play and try 100%? Would be the recent Super Mario Party.
Okay.
Game, you'd be put to sleep.
Okay. No, that's fair.
But it's a tricky one because Alien, as you said, Alien Clone Marines. Yeah, that's just an all round terrible game. It's just bad. But like, terrible can also be just terribly difficult.
Absolutely.
It's a
bit of a downer to finish on this week, but again, if you
enjoy video games are great.
If you enjoy our podcast, normally there's four of us, or three of us some weeks, but normally more than two. If you enjoy this podcast and want to get it early, patreon.com/godisgeek, £1, $1 a month, whatever, you get early access. We give you free codes for, you know, a lot of time for Xbox and PS4, Switch games now and again, PC games. We give it all away on Patreon. You get an exclusive Discord channel, you get video access early, you get to just kind of know what's going on via our Discord channel. You know, we let you in on what are we playing, this is what we're playing, coming up, preview, blah blah blah. But you know, patreon.com/godisgeek. Do subscribe to our YouTube channel, that's youtube.com/godisgeek. Easy, make sure you subscribe there, hit the bell, make sure, because this podcast is available on there as well. Most people listen elsewhere. You can do that on Podbean, you can subscribe on iTunes, you can leave a review, you can give us thumbs up, all these things. Be positive, share us on Twitter. One share helps, someone else will see it, hopefully, if they've not muted you. I don't know, you know, you sort your friend group out. It's not on me. It's not on Adam Carroll either. Adam, thank you very much for being here for us.
Thank you.
And everyone else. Yep. Let's say go to Twitter, @GodIsAGeek. I've got Twitter, Facebook, all this. Just seriously, type God is a Geek in. You'll see so much. Thank you, Adam, for being here. Thank you for listening. And we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.